We're here with the award-winning director, producer and actor, Mr. Robbie Walsh. Give him a round of applause!
Yeah! We're very honoured to have you here, especially after last weekend.
Yes, and it's your first interview, first of all.
Yeah.
Well, we're honoured to have you here, as Rebecca did say, and of course, you're just back from Galway. You had an epic time down there. Before we go into that, give us a bit of background about who you are, in case someone doesn't know.
God, where do I start?
You're Robbie?
Well, yeah. You started off in the Abbey School of Drama. That's where you learnt your craft, first of all.
Yeah, with Kathleen Yates, yeah.
Yeah, is she still going, is she?
Oh, absolutely. She actually just booked a role in Little Women. She's still very active. She's a fantastic coach.
What made you want to be an actor, first of all?
I'm a film fan, a huge film fan.
Because you were in the army, weren't you?
That's when I started studying acting, yeah.
Yeah?
I think I was 21. I injured my shoulder and I couldn't do any martial arts, or I couldn't do any military stuff.
You couldn't use your gun.
And then I just went I'll just go full on into acting, you know, see how I get on.
And how did that work out for you? How did the kind of course go? What did you have to do?
Well, you just went up and you basically were told to resort to being a child again, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid rolling on the floor and pretending that you were a soldier, well, he was, or playing with your action figures and running around just playing Spider-Man or whatever. And you had to kind of resort to that, starting out, and then you start dropping it again as you get on.
And of course, Rebecca and I have done that many times, and the reason why someone's saying to you or listening to this conversation, why did you do that? It just gets you out of yourself so you're not embarrassed to be these particular things. We used to be trees and animals, didn't we?
Yeah, you'd lose your self-consciousness, which we're all, especially as we grow older into adulthood, we become so self-conscious.
Absolutely.
And too so worried about what we're portraying. So that's really good to go back to being a child.
Yeah.
Because they've no qualms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to lose it all. And then as you get older and as you get on with your studies and you start learning more, you learn how to kind of control that. So if you're given a scene where you're told you have to kind of let fly or be a little bit more reserved or happy or sad, you're able to kind of tap into that and then just take it from there.
And were you paranoid in any way of doing this, or did you kind of question the ability? Because a lot of people who break into the acting want to learn a line straight away, but you don't go there straight away. You have to be like a tree or be like a cow or a child, as you said. How did you transcend from going from there to actually learning lines?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. A lot of people, the great actors came from hardship. So they came from bad backgrounds, or they came from a rough upbringing, or just struggle.
A lot of knocks in life.
And that kind of experience allowed them that when they walked into an acting studio to just connect and realise that, hold on, I get this, I understand this, and this makes sense to me. I think I'm going to go with this. And
They can relate to it.
I firmly believe that if you've never lived or you've never experienced anything in your life, you know, if everything's just been handed to you, you're never going to be a good actor. You're not going to be a great actor anyway, you know. You might be able to spout out a line or repeat something, but you're not going to be able to really reach the audience, you know.
You're not going to be able to get really gritty with it.
To an extent.
You need to experience, I think, pain, sorrow,
and absolutely,
and highs as well. Good things happening to you as well, but difficulties, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know.
Well, that was it. So that's fantastic. How long did I go on for now before you got your first role?
Well, the first role I got, I mean, I would go on to I would learn where to look for auditions and little notice boards and film base, or you know, people would send a little casting thing into Kathleen or something, and you would just go along and audition, and you learn that the audition is a completely different process altogether,
isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, just getting to the stage where you think, oh yeah, I know these lines, to actually just prepare and to go in to audition, It's just a completely learning.
Or were you fearful of it?
No. I just, at first, you don't know what you're doing.
Mm.
And then you learn, okay, I have to commit to this and I have to go in and be this character. And, you know, if you're given a scene or a side and you have to look at the line and you find that one little word in that line that you can relate to or you can deliver. And you learn to deliver it in a way where you think it hasn't really been done before. Maybe in Irish TV or Irish film, but in a way that hasn't been done before or hasn't been seen in a long time.
Mm.
So that when you're in the room or you're on screen and you get the chance, because you might only get that small little scene, that one little line in a film, where you'll get the half a second the audience's eye is drawn to you and they look at you and they say, who was that guy?
Mm.
And they just, the hand stops with the popcorn and stops going to the mouth and they don't take the sip of their Coca-Cola or their soft drink and they go,
they're inspired by that particular role,
that
particular
one,
yeah,
thing, and they go, I think I could be an actor, or,
mm,
oh, this, I love this, I want to come watch the next movie or give him the next role.
Absolutely, because we all forget when we look at soap operas on a daily basis, I mean, they're so significant, we actually forget it's actually acting. And when they go to the emotions of sadness and happiness you just discussed there, mm-hmm, I mean, to do that on a regular basis, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to do on a regular basis. I don't know how some people do it, because it's
24/7, yeah,
it's training, absolutely, yeah, yeah, exhausting. But there has to be something in you that, when it's like a trigger mechanism, so that if you've felt that you've been upset and you've been angry before and you learn what that's like, or you've been frustrated with something or sad and really, or just unbelievably happy, maybe you won the lotto one time, you know, a couple of quid on the lotto or something,
or fell in love,
I fell out of love.
Yes.
But then when you know, everything leads to that one moment where you've been holding on to it, and when that scene comes, you just let rip.
Mm.
And how some people are able to do that day in, day out, it's, you know, it tipped me out to them.
And of course, for soap operas, it's conscious, because, I mean, you're happy one minute and sad the next, and the scenes are all jingled up. It's not like, you know, a flow of emotions from one set to the next.
Yeah.
So it really is quite draining, as you said. And some people can film about 20 scenes a day.
Yeah, I mean,
all different emotions.
If you want to do that.
Yeah. So it looks,
you know,
like
you'll get the result of, you know, you do that, you'll see the end result. Shooting 20 scenes in one day, yeah. I mean, let's see how that looks.
That's good. Yeah, we have to mention a couple of the movies you starred in before. Savage, Between the Canals, Fur Coat and No Knickers.
Yeah.
And most recently, Michael Inside, of course, that won the Best Film at the Galway Film Festival.
Congratulations.
Well done for being in that.
Yeah. It's more congrats to Frank Barry and Donna Epperon, yeah, and David Flynn, Mo Dunford. I mean, these guys carried the whole film.
Of course, the IFTA award-winning Mo Dunford, he's an epic actor as well. Can you give us a brief of the story? Because it will be, it's happening this Saturday, the premiere, is it? On a preview?
It's a cast and crew thing. I'm not too sure if it's open to anyone. I kind of doubt it. But the film itself is about a young boy, a teenager, who is given drugs to hold. And he holds on to them and he's told to move them along, and he doesn't, and he gets caught by the police and he's sent to prison for 3 months. And essentially the film is about this never ending cycle that people from that kind of background will find themselves in, that his father was in prison, and you know, this perpetual motion of that when he gets out he's not going to have a hope, or he's not going to get many chances in life, because, you know, he was 18 and he held on to a bag of whatever,
yeah,
and now his life is ruined. I'm not saying people should be holding on to bags of drugs, you know what I mean? That's not what I'm saying, but it's about this thing where
it's a generation thing
yeah, 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 and how his life just kind of spirals out of control from there.
And what particular part do you play in this one?
I am the you can't use language here, no.
If it comes out by mistake, you're more than welcome to. Well, we can apologise for it as you do on radio.
I'm the wrong kind of guy who he's holding the stuff for.
Wow.
And then I have to put pressure on us as family and about paying money that.
So you're a bit of a thug in this one, are you?
You're a nasty guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not the nicest guy in this film at all. At all.
And how did you define playing that particular role? Because it's as you said before, it's a mindset to get in. You've been in so many other things as well, including The Assassins, which you talk about again. But do you have to kind of research that particular role if you're going to be a gangster type that's going to be affecting other people in the film part?
I mean, researching a role like that.
Read a paper. So much going on.
Yeah. I think, again, you have to kind of attach a background to a character like that
and bring it out
and realise that that person, without condoning or condemning, that person is from that kind of background in life, and they've been through whatever hardships, and this is the road they've chose, so I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of sit back and you have to go, well, what way would I react if I came from that walk of life, which I grew up in Dublin city centre, right,
you know?
So if I chose that path, how would I behave, how would me be as that character? And then again, you sit and you look at your line, you study your line, and you find your word or your sentence or your combination of words, and you go, that's where I'm going to deliver on that one scene, on that line there, and then you go for it.
That's fantastic observation. Mm-hmm. And it's a real credit to hear an actor saying that, isn't it?
I'm learning much this evening, Robbie. Yeah, really, you've given us a real insight into more than a lot of people would do. Yeah, but I can see that you love your craft, and I can imagine you teaching it as well.
I don't know about that.
Would you want to?
Probably not. I don't know. I enjoy doing it too much, like, you know.
Yeah. Certainly, I've learned lots, haven't you?
You've also directed and produced stuff. I mean, since I've known you at castings years ago, I've always seen you going around with a camera in your hand or doing something. What other stuff outside the acting? How did you get into that?
Well, like I was saying, we were discussing this earlier about getting cast, and I mean, you know, it's the type of work, okay, that if you decide that you're going to be involved in film, it's the only industry in the world, I think, that if you study for 20 years, you're not guaranteed a job.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, you can
go and study and be a doctor, an accountant, a pharmacist, whatever. You'll get a job. You will get a job somewhere. You know.
A normal job. Field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As we call them.
Yeah. I mean, can you compare being an actor to being a doctor? Not at all. But this is what we chose. But like that, there's always a gap, there's a famine. Or a feast, a feast or a famine. And I was going through a drought and there was nothing going on. And I just went, you know what? I'm going to try and write a little scene and see if I can get it acted out. I found someone that had a camera and we went and, you know, it worked. We got it into Cannes. And I went, well, maybe I could do this again.
Did you enjoy the whole process?
I did. Yeah. I loved it, you know. And then I wrote, that was the first one I wrote. And the second one I wrote and directed. And in order to get money for it, I had to fight in a cage. I had no money.
Really?
So I had a cage fight, made money, and we made the short film. And
no
then
we got it into Cannes.
Yeah. We got it into Cannes, and we went over to Cannes with the last few quid we had left from the
You went to Cannes and Côte d'Azur, south of France.
Yeah, at the film festival. We got a... It was called Aces. We got it in there, you know.
That story sounds like Tom Cruise when he's in Far and Away. You know, he had to fight to get a bit of money together to kind of progress in life. I mean, I didn't know that. That's an epic kind of...
Tom Cruise came to me and said, Robbie, I'll fight you for a role. I would say, Tom, what round do you want me to take
Let's go for it. Let's go for it.
Because you're into wrestling big time as well, aren't you?
MMA and stuff like that.
MMA.
Yeah. And boxing, yeah.
Well, because we're all fans of Conor McGregor here, and when we saw the interview we've done there recently, a lot of people slag him and they say he's too cocky, but he's not really, is he? He is what he is. It's an act to a certain extent when he goes on the stage, but he's put this country on the map of the world.
MMA, he has. I mean, you can't say the fella's put us on the map of the world.
With his vocal ability, but
I would say to people that are saying that they don't really like Conor for what he's saying at the Floyd Mayweather thing is that if you look at how he speaks away from camera or when he's just talking to, say, children or teenagers or kids that come up to him or, I mean, anything like that, he has just inspired generations of children to stop, to put the PlayStation down.
Yeah.
And do martial arts or do boxing or do something. Make the decision to go and try and be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, anything, pick it and go for it. 100%. And he's inspired people to do that.
And it's worked.
You know, I mean, there's a huge explosion. Yeah. I mean, we have more. I mean, even as a nation, we have so many martial arts champions. Mm. I mean, we have one woman who was, her name has completely gone out of my head, and I know someone will remind us.
She was
a WBC boxing champion, a professional boxing champion. She was a kickboxing champion as well, and she went to South Africa, complete underdog, and beat the world champion, and I think she stopped her, and brought her home, and nobody heard anything about her. And you had Katie Taylor, who was, you know, an absolute phenomenal, you know, icon now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've a lot of them. We're a fighting nation, so.
Yeah.
We've a lot of people that are world champions that aren't getting acknowledged.
So, I think if Conor wants to make a movie, I think we should actually cast you in it. It's a bit of a kind of role that you'd love to play.
I think I'm too old to play Conor.
I would just stop it. You could play yourself. Is there a book inside your head that you want to write?
A book?
Mm. From your life expectancy of what you've done and from where your career is going in yourself and your head?
No, I don't know.
No.
I don't think my grammar's good enough to write a book.
Come here, I can't talk English for God's sake.
No, you're terribly clever. I think definitely a book, and maybe when you're a little bit older.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah. When you've had more.
5 more years.
Yeah. So tell us about The Assassins anyway. This was on TV3.
Yeah, it was a drama documentary that Toil Films and Keith, Keith's second name, I'm sorry Keith, but I can't remember your second name for the time being, but they made a drama documentary about, again, gangland.
In Ireland, throughout
the years, yeah. About hired hitmen and hired hit women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not called just hit person, but there you go. Yeah, so that was it. I played the role of a young man from Limerick called Gary Campion.
I'd really love to see that. Is that available at all?
Would it be on YouTube? I think it's on Tree Player. You can watch it on Tree Player.
Very good. And are there many hit women? There must be, actually.
If there is, I don't know any. And if I did know any, I'm not going to say it.
Well, the only one we can talk about that she didn't do purposely was Catherine Nevin. She basically got her husband done in, which there was the kind of documentary about that as well. Deirdre Ward played her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
We've done Fair City with her many a time before, and she actually looked a bit like her as well, which is very kind of stunning to kind of say that, not against Vera or Deirdre, but it is out there. It seems to be kind of happening quite often, people being murdered for some particular reason or not.
It happened in the 80s and 90s as well, and again we go back to that perpetual circle. I don't know anything about who'd be involved or who wouldn't be involved. I mean, all I know is what I'd see in the headline of a newspaper. What do we do about it? It's that circle, you know? In 20 years' time, is this problem still going to be there or is it not? Mm-hmm. Who knows, you know?
Well, we're going to be talking about it too. Now, all your awards, your first award you got was what year was it? Because there's so many here even to mention. I just mentioned one here. Your debut award, winning the feature film Eden, written and directed by Walsh, obviously you, and it was accepted into the LA Movie Awards and received a prestigious honour in the International Excellence Award. Did I say that properly? Yeah.
Okay.
That's just awesome thing to say.
Eden was a feature I made in about homelessness. It was meant to be a short film.
Meant to be, right.
It was meant to be, but we'd shot so much footage. We shot it in 3 days in Swords. And when we went back and we were looking at the footage, the editor came to me, he's like, Robbie, we have some beautiful shots here, and the film is running at, you know, 60 minutes as is now, what do you want to do? So we broke the budget and spent another 50 quid for a day and we shot another scene, which turned out to be the best, one of the best scenes in the film.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, and we got the running time up to, I think it was 76 minutes or something like that, maybe 80 minutes. And I sent it to some festivals, and I sent it to one in LA called the LA Movie Awards, and they put it gave it an honourable mention. There was like little categories of awards, and
wow,
we went into international excellence and we got the honourable mention. Like, there was 4 second toward an honourable mention, so we got the trophy for the honourable mention, which was lovely, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So is your mantelpiece full now at this stage?
No. No.
Would you like to get the IFTA or the Oscar? Is it in your head to kind of achieve that?
No. Look, I mean, if someone hands you an Oscar, you're not going to say no.
No.
I don't try not to think about that.
Yeah, well, Colin Farrell hasn't got his yet.
Well, have you seen The Beguiled?
No.
I went to see it last night. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it could really be on the cards for him.
He's really good.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
He's settled into his ways now. I mean, he did start off a bit dodgy, but he's gotten to where, in his head, where he wants to be. He's brilliant. He really is good. You can't knock him.
No, absolutely not. He paved the way for, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say all Irish actors, but certainly inspired a lot of young Irish actors. I mean, he got me out of the chair, you know, on more than one occasion to say, here, look, yeah, I've got to start putting more into this, you know. This one, The Beguiled, he's very good in it, you know. But I can't talk about Sofia Coppola because...
Yeah.
She's, she's got a very famous father and she has much publicity she needs. So I've got to go back to talk about
Frank. And back to the Oscars
and
awards like that. They're very objective as well, you know.
Yeah. And of course, it's other actors that vote for you in the Oscars to win the particular thing. Like the IFTA, you worked for Mo Dunford. He's such an amazing actor at the moment. He's great. And St. Patrick's Day, he was just awesome in that as well. Mm-hmm. And I have to stop saying awesome. But that's what he achieved. He won that particular award. And it's a great acknowledgement for fellow actors to kind of see people who are working hard at that particular craft to get it. I think it's very applaudable and it's well deserved.
Yeah, I suppose if anyone just acknowledging that you're doing the job good is a big thing. I think more than anything though is if the audience turns out and the audience get behind the film. I mean, like Cardboard Gangsters, for instance, was made for very little, and it's the biggest selling film of the year, and the audience have turned around and supported Irish film.
Yeah.
They've said, we like what you're doing. So, and there's been a big influx of Irish film. It's like a new wave now. And I mean, A Day for Mad Mary, The Flag, my films, you know, Eden and Split.
Yeah.
Throw that in there. And now you have, of course, Michael Inside, which, you know, it is really starting to kind of set a benchmark to keep it going, you know.
Now, we're mentioning obviously that the price of these movies is low budget, but why would you not think the film board gives this country more money to produce more of these big films like England do in America? What's the problem?
I don't know. I really don't know the ins and outs of that. I don't really get involved in the politics of it. I don't know if there's even politics involved with it. I think, thinking about it now, if they turned and gave everybody money and satisfied everybody, maybe we wouldn't be getting the people being innovative and being as creative as we have.
And the quality.
Yeah. I mean, people, to make a film now, the low-budget film, or a no-budget film, as some people call them.
They do, yes.
We can go out and we can buy cameras for a very reasonable price, shoot it at a very good frame rate, very good resolution, and get somebody who's very good at writing, you know? And next thing you know, we have a very good short film, or a very good potential feature film, or a finished product that's a great feature film, and you can take it to, say, the film board, or you can take it to a bigger production company, or a distribution company maybe, and they will go, you know what, we'll get on board with you, we'll help you. And people can say, oh, they get on board after the fact, we've done all the hard work. That's business, you know. If you want to make a film, go make a film. There's nothing stopping you. They made a huge film there at Sundance recently called Tangerine, and it was made on iPhones. There's nothing stopping you.
Do you remember the Blair Witch Project?
I love the Blair Witch Project. That got grief when it first came out. It was terrifying.
It was so real, because you visualise yourself being there.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
When you're factoring in the marketing campaign, came in at, I think, just over $1 million to make, something like that, and it pulled 800 million worldwide. It was two people in a house with cameras on the wall.
That's it, I've seen it before.
You have to be inventive, you have to be stubborn, you have to be dogged and determined. If you want to be in film and you want to be an actor or a writer, go write, go act, go make a film. There's nothing stopping you. Go do it. People are going to tell you no. They're going to tell you no when you start. They're going to tell you no when you're halfway through. They're going to tell you no when you finish. When you're successful and it gets into the cinema, you're going to find someone bigger than them, and they're going to tell you no as well. And you're going to keep there. You're going to keep getting it. Elon Musk, one of the biggest, most influential men on the planet, gets told no every day. You can't do that. And then he just goes and does it.
Absolutely great advice there.
Just do it.
We just got a text in there saying, Lisa from Kabarik says, you sound absolutely amazing. MMA, you love that too. Are you single? We get this all the time when all the handsome actors come on, don't we?
I am.
You are single. Are you looking to mingle?
I always use that word, mingle.
Yeah. Are you looking for anybody in particular?
No, I'm just
going along with life the way it is.
Breezy. I don't know if I get the Friends reference.
So what's the future hold for you now? What's going to happen next?
Well,
do you have a game plan?
No.
Just go along with the flow.
I just love the art.
Yeah.
We have a festival coming up now in September.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to get both Eden and my new film Split. Split will open it. And yeah, we're lucky to have them being shown down in Cork in September at the Real Film Festival. So
the Real Film Festival, okay.
REEL, like Film Reel. We'll be down and we'll attend that. Split has got a great eclectic cast. You know, we've MMA fighters from the UFC, Damien Dempsey, you name it.
Is he doing the soundtrack?
I don't know. I'm due to call him. I'll have
he's
to call
lovely.
Him.
Sure he'll do it for you, no problem whatsoever. He's a good friend of Near FM here, and he's always in, isn't he? He's fantastic guy. He's a fantastic guy. Anybody that want to see your stuff, have you got a website, a Facebook account, or do they have to kind of Google you for your own stuff that you've done on obviously film?
No, I'll tell you what. If you want to see one of my funny little shorts, you can check out, it's a short film called A Day in the Life of a Point.
A Day in the Life of a Point. I think I've seen this. Go on. Yes. Yeah.
So if you just have a look, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before. It's very good. It's very clever.
Yeah, that's
very
that's,
clever.
That's been a very little successful film for everyone involved.
So A Day in the Life of a Point, Robbie Walsh on YouTube.
Yeah, have a look.
And that's the one. Well, it's been an absolute honour for you to come all the way from Swords to be with us today. Your first ever radio. I think that deserves a round of applause, doesn't it?
Thanks
before you
much.
Go, do you want to ask him a question?
Yeah, I just say I'm just blown away by how clever you are and how determined you are. Learned a lot this evening.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you've came across absolutely amazing vocally on air as well. So you've got a great radio voice
very
as well,
very lovely on the eye too.
Yes. Ladies, get on YouTube now and follow him on that big time. Please, if things start developing in the future, will you come back and talk to us again?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
100%. Absolutely.
Well, you're an absolute pleasure to come on and see us tonight again. And thank you so much. Robbie Walsh, actor, director, and of course, producer of many a film and an award-winning actor too. And thanks for coming all the way from Swords.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.